So it would have been this. There's something about Mary.
Yeah.
It's my girl.
Except you'd be Woogie.
Yeah, right. I'd be Woogie. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Are we on yet?
We're on.
So
we're having a conversation about
the movie. Something about, we weren't talking about that, but it tied into this. So we saw Something About Mary in the theater.
Yep.
And we laughed our absolute balls off, dude. That was back when we'd trade pizzas for movies. And we used to do, like, we'd give them a large pizza, they'd give us two or four or whatever tickets. And it got to the point that I knew, like, I had worked at the theater, this particular theater, before I was at the pizza place.
Uh-huh.
Or before I went back to the pizza place. And after I had built a rapport when I went back to the place, they would just, like, my roommate and I could just walk up and get into a movie. We didn't have to bring a pizza. We didn't have to have tickets or anything. All the managers knew us. So I don't think he ever went without tickets without me, because we would get tickets occasionally, and then I'd give them to drivers or inside people to,
sure,
like, work extra and not have to put them on the payroll, you know?
Okay.
Hey, I know you're supposed to be out at 6, but we're getting killed, and you're already clocked out. If I give you two movie tickets, will you stick around until the rush is dead, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So we were at There's Something About Mary. We had gotten in for free, and we'd actually brought, like, four people with us, and they just let us in, because to them, the ticket sales did nothing for them. It was all about concessions.
Yeah.
So the agreement was at least buy a popcorn.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy a popcorn, you're going to buy a pop too. I mean,
sure.
You can't eat a giant bucket of popcorn and not have something to slurp it down with. I mean,
exactly.
So I remember we saw that movie and the six of us were dying. Like, the whole theater, I mean, we were rolling.
Yeah.
That place was like a comedy show.
Yeah.
You know, stand-up comedy show. And when it came out on VHS, DVD, whatever.
Yeah, it was whatever, VHS, yeah.
We rented it, and Amy was living on the other side of the state at the time. She had come to visit, and we were like, you got to see this movie. So we went to Video Hits Plus, we rented it, and we all laughed. But, like, Dan and I, my roommate and I, we didn't laugh as hard because we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
She didn't see it as funny as we did because she doesn't have quite the childish humor we have. She does have she's got a good sense of humor. She does. She's not a stick in the mud by any stretch of the, I mean, she's married to me. She's got to have some kind of sense of humor. You know, but
the level of humor is not as puerile as
and
you guys. Yeah.
That was one of those movies that we just sat there when it was done and we're like, were we high when we saw that? Like, because it was like,
I think it was like a group. I think it's one of those group things that you got to see that in a group.
And again, I think it was because we'd already seen it. Mm-hmm. Some of the magic of it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
like the binocular scene, the teeth scene,
yeah,
the truck stop or the rest stop scene, you know, all
it's
of
like,
the,
you know, it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. It was... We get done, and she looks at us. She's like, really? We're like, we laughed so hard. And she's like, are you guys drunk? You know, we're like, we don't think we were. Like,
I think you're right. I think it's one of those, you see the jokes coming, so you've already laughed at it, so you know it's already. It's still a funny movie, but it's not as funny as the first time you see it.
You know, I've seen it. Maybe not in its entirety. I've seen it on TBS, TNT, HBO, whatever. And there's chuckles. And I think the more you watch it, the cringier it gets, too, know? Because, like, the whole premise is based around stalking.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, oh, my God. Like,
it's another one of those movies that can't be made today. You know?
Well, if you did, you know, at the end, people would be going away in handcuffs. You know, yeah. Like, you were spying on me? I'm calling the cops.
Yeah.
There's I'm filing restraining orders.
There's a there's either a Facebook reel or a TikTok meme that I saw recently that had a clip from that movie in it. And it says, what you see during sex versus what she sees. And it says what you see, and it's like, you know, sort of shows this beautiful woman, you know, laying on bed, you know, all beautiful and everything like that. This is what she's, what you see, and then it flips to Warren, and it says what she sees. Have you seen my wiener? Have you seen my wiener?
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, it's just, yeah, the thing is just all full of. I mean, you just couldn't do that today.
No,
just,
the hair gel, the. I mean, there's just so much to be like, what are you thinking? Like, seriously.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just because we've. You know, we talked about it before. I mean, I think we have a society who just becomes so pussified that, you know.
You can't do the jokes. You can't tell the stories. You can't make the movies where they say, you know, things like retard or,
yeah,
you know, making fun of people's weight the way they used to. You can a little bit now.
Yeah.
I've been watching Archer on Hulu, and oh my God, I mean, they just. No holds barred. They just hammer every stereotype. And
Anthony Jeselnik just cringes me the freak out, man.
I love Anthony Jeselnik.
I heard a bit from him this morning. I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't fall back to sleep. So I'm on Spotify. I'm listening to Chad Daniels trying to fall back to sleep. And so I've got it. Where it's Chad Daniels, and then it goes through different comedians in the vein of Chad Daniels. I don't know how Anthony Jeselnik is in the vein of Chad Daniels. I don't know how. But there was a clip on there where he said something like, yeah, I had a, something about it. He had a retarded brother or something. And nobody in the family stood up for him. So I did and grabbed a pillow. Like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck? And he says, yeah. And he says, I told that joke. He said something like, I told that joke in one theater. And a guy stood up and he says, yeah. He says, my son's retarded. And he says, I looked at him and I said, well, what are you doing at a comedy show? He says, you could be getting free laughs at home. Like, oh my God. Oh my gosh. What the
See, and I value comedians like Anthony Jeselnik.
Wow.
Because it's the absurdity of the joke.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell those jokes necessarily because he's a bad person.
Yeah.
He's trying to make people see the absurdity in how words are constructed, how they're put together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything harmful in there. He's not directing it. And his jokes are so generalized. He always makes it about a family member, you know, talks about his mom being an alcoholic, his dad being a pill popper. Maybe it's the other way around. But he's joking. Like, he's totally joking.
Yeah.
One of the things that my wife got upset about when I was still doing the comic strip was, that's not how that happened, or that's not what she said, or that's not what... And I'm like, I'm trying to tell a joke here.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with the actuality.
Yeah.
I'm not putting a thing on Facebook or whatever saying, I was having a conversation with my son, and I said, and then he said, and don't kids say the darnest things.
Yeah.
I took something that I heard, whether it was my child or a kid
on the playground, on the playground, something.
Or maybe I heard you talking about your child or whatever.
Yeah.
And I took a part of that and turned it into a comic strip.
Sure.
This isn't a reality thing. I'm not, this isn't the history of.
Yeah.
This is, hey, I heard something. I thought I could make it into a 3-panel funny. Ha ha.
Sure.
And she would get all like, that's not what he said, or that we didn't say that afterwards. That's not the point.
Yeah, that's not the point.
Do you really think that Snoopy said those things on the top of his doghouse to Charlie Brown? This is a comic strip, lady. And comedians, what really sucks is comedian will talk about, you know, their significant other, their child, their sure. their ex-wife, their parents, whatever. I would lay bets 90%+ of that is bullshit.
Sure.
Their little kid didn't say this one thing that's going to make the whole crowd laugh their ass off.
Yeah.
That joke got refined. That joke got, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's unfair that people would even think that's based on a reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got, I remember Rodney Carrington would talk about, you know, like, he's like, I write these little songs and I play them for my wife. And she's like, oh, that's good. Or, oh, that's not so good. And, oh, God, you're not going to play that one, are you? And those are the ones I play for you guys. You know, and I don't think that they ever had that conversation.
Yeah.
He was like, I need some filler in between jokes or in between songs.
Yeah.
So people know that I'm married. I've talked about my wife. So now I'm going to put this out there so you guys can have a chuckle.
Yeah.
You know? Now, if like Henry Rollins or somebody's doing a spoken word thing and they're telling a story, there's probably a lot more truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some artistic freedom that's been put in there.
Yeah.
The words aren't necessarily going to be exact quotes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's not a documentary. It's a storytelling.
Yeah. While you're talking, I was thinking about it, and there is a bit that Chad Daniels does do. His wife is a professor of environmental studies at a college, like a small college in their town, and he said that they had gone to the grocery store and she forgot their bags. They bring in, you know,
yeah,
recyclable bags instead of getting the plastic bags in the store or whatever. And the cashier that was checking them out took her class and she was obviously pregnant. And She says, hey, it's the environmental studies professor from the college, and she didn't bring her recyclable bags with her. I think she deserves an F for forgetting to bring her bags. You know, what do you think about that? You know, and, you know, talking about a carbon footprint and, you know, all this stuff. And he says, you know, I think about that. I think I'm going to kill you. But he says something like, but I'm not going to shoot you. I'm not going to burn down your house. I'm not going to run you over with a car, because that creates a large carbon footprint. I'm going to choke you. I'm going to choke you to death. Population -1.
Nice.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to turn out the light. That's going to lower the carbon footprint.
So I'm actually helping the
environment. You know, and people are laughing, you know, about this. And he says, I'm going to put my foot on your stomach. Population -2.
Wow.
And people are like,
So it's okay to kill the woman. Yeah, don't kill the unborn child.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, no, did you catch that? He says, people were laughing when I killed her. But then when I said I put my foot on her stomach, that's when people had a problem. Damn.
So comedy's like everything else. It's all subjective.
Yep.
You cannot tell somebody that something's not funny.
Yep.
It's not funny to you.
Uh-huh.
There's a huge difference. Ricky Gervais talked about that on a podcast, and I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, people need to nut up and say, I find that offensive, not that's offensive. No, it's not. You find it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not offensive until people find it offensive.
Yeah.
I find that offensive is far more powerful than that's offensive. But the problem is, I'm paraphrasing, I'm riffing on my own with this. You have to put ownership on it then. If you say, I find it offensive. Mm-hmm. And that's where people don't have the balls. People don't want to put their name on it. They don't want to put their stamp on it. They want to say, well, somebody might find that offensive. Do you find it offensive? Because if you do, then you're somebody. Own it. Say it.
Yeah.
You know, that wet-ass pussy song by whomever, Megan Thee Stallion. Which I think is stupid because you don't need to put E-E. You could just put the and pronounce it the, but whatever. I find that song offensive. Do you see me out there trying to ban that song? Do you see me out there, you know, picketing Megan Thee Stallion album sales? Or no. Because guess what? I, as a consumer, have the option of not purchasing it and not listening to it.
Nope.
Do I don't know that I've ever actually heard her version of it. Mm-hmm. I've heard the Richard Cheese version of it, which is funny. I still find it offensive. I found Two Live Crew to be offensive. Not offensive to the point that I wouldn't listen to it or have a, you know, illegally recorded version of it back when I was in ninth grade or whatever. But if truth be told, yeah, I found it to be offensive. Not offensive to my sensibilities,
mm-hmm.
but that was one of those things that I knew I was never going to play that cassette when my parents were in the house.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't going to play that tape with my headset on when I knew they were sleeping, because I knew that, you know, that'd be the time they'd wake up and I'd have, you know, do I dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and they'd be like, what the fuck are you, like, I saw this bitch walking. No, I don't need my parents to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, bad enough they, you know, wanted to take Motley Crue away from me. I didn't need them to take everything else too, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Things can be offensive. You can still listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, I find most news to be offensive. Fox, CNN, MSNBC, all of them. I find all of them offensive. You don't see me out there trying to ban them.
Yeah.
Just because you don't like it doesn't mean other people can't like it.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you. It's a kind of a personal slash professional story. I've been staying ahead of the game. Insurance companies have been raising rates because of inflation, rising cost of claims, and all that stuff. So I've been getting notifications of clients' policies. So I've been sending out letters saying, hey, your policy is going up. This is by how much. It's because of inflation. You know, I've checked around at other companies. This is what their rates are. You know, I'm trying to look out for you. If you have any questions, call me. I had this client call me the other day and said, hey, thanks for looking out for me. Appreciate you sending out this letter. I understand it sucks. I understand, you know, this is the way the world is right now, is what it is, you know, that kind of stuff. And this one was having some billing issues with the company. Not my fault. It's the company switched over to a new billing system, and they were having some problems getting the new billing system to get set up or whatever. And she said, are we all set as far as the billing system? I said, well, you and I have gone through it with the company. As far as I know and as far as you know, we should be all set. And I said, if the
fingers crossed.
Yeah. I said, looks like everything's all set up. We'll see what happens. You know, hopefully there are going to be no issues, but if there is, you know, I'll do what I can to try to figure out what's going on. And then she goes, I'm not going to blame you because I know it's not your fault. She says, I'll just blame Trump. So I'm like, yeah. And it's one of these people. It's got a lot of money. Family's had a lot of money and never really had a real job because their family's had a lot of money. And I think they kind of have that white guilt kind of thing going where, you know, they jump into all these causes for the poor and for the indigenous and for all this stuff because they feel guilty because their family has a lot of money, you know, kind of thing. So that's why they, you know.
So I have a friend.
It's like, what? Don't get political. I mean, when it comes to insurance, I don't care. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care if you're Catholic, if you're Jewish, if you're atheist, if you're non-binary, if you're lesbian, if you're. I don't care. Your money's all green. I want to help everybody.
Right.
You know. I mean, when that transgender came in here, the only thing I was worried about was offending them. I wanted to make sure that they felt comfortable with me being their agent. That's the thing that I was most concerned with. I didn't care that. How they looked or how they presented or whatever.
Or what they identify as.
I didn't care. It's just I wanted to make sure that they understood what I was selling and making sure that they understood why I had to do what I had to do as far as the paperwork.
Yeah.
Paperwork has to be legal. On my documentation, my letterhead that goes out to them, I can use their preferred name. But when it comes to the insurance policies and stuff, it has to go with what's on their driver's license until they get it changed. Unfortunately, that's the way it's got to go, you know?
So I got this friend from back in my Kalamazoo days, and he's one of those world people, right? Like, he's like a magnet of the outside the norm, right? So he meets this guy who is a... If I remember right, he's a Russian Jew.
Okay.
Who was in the Red Army.
Wow.
Moved to Israel. Okay. And because he's Jewish, he was able to join
the Israeli Army.
The IDF.
The IDF, okay.
And now he's in America.
Okay.
And he does all this engineering teaching stuff, right? So my friend meets this guy, and so he's getting the outside world view of America from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend speaks fluent German. This guy speaks Yiddish.
Okay.
So it's not exactly the same. Sometimes they had to make some clarifications.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, and it's so funny that you brought up the whole, you know, the white guilt and all that. Because this conversation that I had with my friend was last night. Wasn't even going to bring this up just because it felt like it was going to be like way off topic, but it actually ties in. This guy as an outsider is telling my friend, whose name also happens to be Matt, about how the left in this country is so
weird compared to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. He's like, you've got people that are just chasing their tails here over issues that don't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. It's like the I blame Trump. I feel bad for the minorities. I feel, and so I'm now going to be offended. I'm going to be, you know, hurting for them.
Yeah.
When in using this as wedges, in that's what the outside forces want. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy who, you know, sat there with machine gun shooting and killing other people because his government told him he had to do it. And he comes here and we're fighting these naming gender identity battles. And he's like, if I wasn't pulling the trigger and squeezing off 600 rounds a minute, me and all of the people that I cared about would be dead right now. And you guys are fighting over whether that's a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing the story secondhand.
Sure.
Right? Now you're hearing it third hand. But this is the world that we live in. And I told my friend, we're texting last night about this. I go, I can't even imagine the world that this person lived in.
Yeah.
You know, we're over here. We're so concerned with, oh my God, I didn't get the right spice on my latte at Starbucks today. And there's people on the other side of the world that are throwing rounds downrange, because if they don't, they're going to die.
Yeah.
They're literally going to be killed.
Yep.
And we got people, and I'm not saying that we should just like dump all of our money. I'm not saying, you know, figure out your budget and anything that's above that we should be giving to these other countries and stuff. But we got people over here that are like, oh my God, I feel so bad for all these people. I'll write a check for $100 and, you know, it'll make myself feel better about, you know, helping a cause. And again, we're worried about, you know, what the chlorine balance is in the pool, what we got at Starbucks, what we, you know, what's mm-hmm. going to be on TV. And oh my God, there's that X-Men 97. Mm-hmm. Have you seen
that? No, I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't watched any of it. Mm. But somebody was like, they didn't have parental discretion stuff in front of an episode. And they talked about whatever. I think it was transgenderism or something along those lines. And people were like losing their minds that, you know, impressionable children might see this. That's the worst thing you have going for you today? That your child sensibilities might have been slightly offended? Or that little Timmy had to ask you, you know, why would a boy want to be a girl or, you know, whatever? Really?
Where you got little boys and little girls dodging bullets.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to worry about the next person that walks through the cafe. Do they have a vest bomb on?
Yeah.
Could you imagine? You're sitting in a coffee shop, eating breakfast, reading the paper, and just kaboom.
No.
Half your face is gone. Your spouse is dead. You send your spouse to work and they might not come back because, you know, somebody blew them up. God. Now, imagine if you're on the side that blew up that cafe and your family member was in there. There are people that would be like, well, yeah, but we killed six Jews or we killed three Palestinians or, you know, whatever. It sucks that my wife died, but, you know.
She died for a good cause.
She died, you know, for a good cause.
Yeah.
She died while we were taking out some of the enemy. I find it amazing that it's 2024. We're still fighting wars.
Yeah.
I mean, have we not figured it out in the 8,000 years that people have been on the planet, 10,000, whatever it's been, that killing in the name of anything doesn't fix anything?
Come on, Rage Against the Machine, man. Killing in the name of...
Get it. But, you know, at least when, like, they would have the fights and they'd have army on one side, army on the other, and they'd just go in and they'd, like, bash the shit out of each other with swords and clubs and...
There would be no collateral damage.
You know...
It'd be warrior against warrior. There wouldn't be, like...
Yeah, you had raping and pillaging, you know, but... If you could have figured out how to not to do that part of it, if you know, I used to joke with somebody, like, why don't we get like Arnold Schwarzenegger to be our president, and then like you have presidents and dictators, whatever, like, and let MMA them fights. Duke it out. Yeah, you know, like
in this corner, the United States of America, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know, and they got to go at it.
In very... this corner for Saudi Arabia, the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, and. And, you know, they got to bare knuckle it in the ring. They're, you know, no help, no nothing. And either you go to a submission or you go to the death. I don't give a shit. And loser loses that particular fight, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always, you know, we're going to tell you to go out and kill these people. Why aren't you out there killing these people? Well, because we don't want to die. Well, no shit. Neither do we. I just it's crazy, this world we live in, Maddie.
Yeah. I got a load of records the other day, and amongst them I got some funky ones. I posted the other day, I got I'm out to find a lot of the charity records.
Like the We Are the World.
Yeah, type. We Are the World, Hands Across America, those kind of. You know, I got like Hearing Aid. I've got Band-Aid. Do They Know It's Christmas? And I heard of one and I found it. Fairy Aid. I had never heard of that one before.
Never heard of that
one. It was only released in the United Kingdom.
Like F-A-I-R-Y?
No, F-E-R-R-Y.
Because they were having problems with getting people to and from places?
No, in March, yeah, I learned about it. In March of 1987 in Belgium, there was a ferry, like a car ferry, a passenger ferry, that capsized.
Okay.
And 193 passengers and crew died. So Paul McCartney, Boy George, and like a whole ton of other musical artists got together. And they recorded the Beatles song "Let It Be,"
okay.
And they released it. They released it under the band ensemble Fairy Aid, and they sold 500,000 copies. And all the money went to the victims of this disaster.
The families, yeah.
Yeah, but like Mark Knopfler was on there, and Bananarama, and Susie Quattro, and. I think like Clarence Clemens, I think, was on there. I mean, the back of the thing just had a list of, you know, just, you know, UK artists and American artists and just, sure. You know, people from Level 42 and just a whole ton of people was on there. I had never heard of the disaster. I had never heard of it. I was able to get one of the 500,000 copies that are out there. I thought that was pretty cool. And then I got a copy of the motion picture soundtrack to the movie Billy Jack. Have you ever heard of the Billy Jack movies?
Yeah.
There are four of them. I didn't realize there were four movies. I just heard of Billy
Jack.
That's
like the dude with like the cowboy-ish hat and like the vest.
Yep. Yeah. Tom Laughlin, he plays Billy Jack. The first movie was in 1967 called The Born Losers. He's kind of like, I kind of equate him to kind of like Rambo, kind of like Rambo.
Is he a guy who like came back from the war?
Yeah, he's like a a mixed race Navajo Green Beret Vietnam veteran.
Okay.
In 1967, in The Born Losers, he was a drifter just traveling through.
Does he take on like a motorcycle gang?
Yep. In Born Losers, he took on a motorcycle gang. In Billy Jack, he took on a town who was harassing this freedom. It was called a freedom school.
Okay.
It was a school for troubled youth. So he took that on. And then there was another one.
Doesn't he do karate and shit?
He yeah, he does karate and stuff. And then there was Billy Jack on Trial was the next one. And then the final one was Billy Jack Goes to Washington, where I think he becomes a senator or something like that.
Roundhouse kicks fucking congressional aides.
And yeah, something like that. But yeah,
I said I want this to go through legislation. Roundhouse kick.
But it was kind of it's kind of like a mixture of Rambo and like Steven Seagal kind of stuff, you know, and Chuck Norris, you know, kind of those kind of things. Interesting movie. Really interesting movie. I think it was like 2 hours long.
Oh wow.
And it was
was long for back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you couldn't capture the essence of your story in less than 90 minutes in the 60s, yeah, that didn't go in theaters.
And it was like written, directed, produced, and starred by Tom Laughlin, but he the writer, producer, and director, he had it under like different pseudonyms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that way people wouldn't be like, oh, this is...
Right. And... the budget was like $800,000, and the initial theater run made $10 million, and then Warner Brothers picked it up, I guess, and then it made an additional $50 million. It was like, back then, in 1971, 72, I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's crazy money. But...
So where do you think Tom Laughlin was born?
I'm guessing New Mexico.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Died in 2013, complications from pneumonia.
Really? Wow. Man, I thought he'd still be kicking. But I got that. And then I got the 45 single by Chunky A. You remember Chunky A?
Nope.
That was Arsenio Hall's alter ego, or little brother.
Really?
The fat rapper who was a roadie for Barry Manilow.
Okay.
You don't remember?
No.
1989, he came out with an album, Large and in Charge, comedy rap album.
Nope.
The hit single, Ow.
Nope.
Hit 77 on the Billboard 100 chart.
Ooh. Not in Holland, Michigan, it didn't.
I got that for $1. I'm like, probably Chunky A for $1, gotta get it.
Wow.
Gotta get it for $1. I mean, come on.
So I was flipping through reels last night, and they were talking to Eddie Murphy about the where that skit with the Prince and the basketball.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, oh, yeah, that was real. And he's like, you know, me and my brother, you know, we took Prince and his guys on, and Prince was wearing this little, you know, he was wearing the outfit from the Kiss video.
Oh, yeah?
And, you know, like, my guys are all in their club outfits, and we met up with Prince, and they proceeded to kick the hell out of us, like, seriously. And it was one of those things where you could tell there was more, but it cut off. Yeah. I really wanted to hear about the... You want pancakes, bitches?
Bitches.
I wanted to hear that part of like how that tied in, but
so you figure the rest of it's got to be true. It's like fuck your couch, nigga. Fuck your couch.
Yeah, I just like
they should have never given your niggas money. I love those stories, man, from Chappelle, the true Hollywood stories with Charlie Murphy. Oh gosh, love those. See, that's another show that you couldn't do today is Chappelle's show. You just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, and it's just amazing how Hollywood like goes on these like waves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this person's great, this person's great. Oh, this person sucks. This person's like, wait, because they're not following the established rules, they suck now. Like, come on. And us as consumers need to be seeing this and going, wait, this person was cool a minute ago. Why are they not cool anymore?
Yeah.
What do they know? What did they do that makes them not cool anymore?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They broke a trust. They,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Do you got Amazon Prime?
I do.
Are you going to be watching Fallout tonight?
So
as we're recording this, Amazon Video, Prime Video, they decided they're going to release the Fallout series a day early.
Oh, really?
So they were originally going to release it on April 11, but they decided they were going to do it tonight at like 8 or 9 o'clock.
Why?
And I don't know. And they're doing a live... some sort of live event, so if you tune in, you can choose a faction to join up with.
Okay.
So you can choose to be a part of the Brotherhood of Steel, and you can watch it with all the fans that, you know, are the Brotherhood of Steel, and you can interact with those people as you're watching the show, and or you can, you know, be one of the ghouls or one of the vault dwellers or whatever.
All I know about Fallout is it's not anything to do with Fallout Boy.
No.
The band.
Yeah.
I never played any of the games.
Really?
No. All I know about Fallout is from what you've told me.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, are you into, like, RPG adventure type games?
Yeah.
Or? Yeah.
I just... it's one of those things that I didn't get in on, and so like everybody be like, oh my god, the new Fallout's out, you know, and I'd be like, okay, great. Like,
so kind of like that one where, gosh, what was that? It's a comment on Tacoma FD. Somebody had commented, one of the cast members had said, or one of the characters had said, it's like, yeah. I haven't seen Breaking Bad, and now I'm afraid to watch it because, you know, they've hyped it up so much that I'm afraid that if it sucks, then
I hadn't seen Clerks, right? Yeah. And by the time I saw Clerks, I think Dogma was coming out.
Okay.
So I had seen Mallrats. I had seen Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Well, I saw Chasing Amy, and then I saw Mallrats. I already knew everything about Clerks.
Yeah.
Like, I had heard every line. I had heard every... like, people had told me about, you know, when they're talking about, you know, Star Wars and how, you know, OSHA would shut them down because there's no railings on the... you know, like, I had heard all of it. I knew about the hockey on the roof. I knew about the dead guy. You know, I knew all of it going into it. So when I watched Clerks, I was like, meh. Is it a good movie? Yeah, it's a good movie. It did nothing for me because I already knew it all.
Yeah.
You know, I knew about Jay and Silent Bob. I knew, you know, all of it.
Yeah.
And to this day, it's probably my least favorite of the View Askew movies.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's black and white, not because it was the first one, not because it was low budget, but because it was ruined for me.
Yeah.
So I totally get, you know, if somebody's like, if your friend is telling you all about Breaking Bad, oh my God, and then Walter does this and Jesse, and then they blow up Fring and blah, why would you even want to watch it at that point? Especially when it's done. Like, if it's still going, jump in, catch up. But yeah. The whole thing's done, I could see where somebody would be like, yeah, I'm not jumping on that.
Yeah. On TikTok, I've been scrolling through the For You, and there's a... You hear the show Scorpion? Have you heard the show Scorpion?
Was it a CBS show?
Yeah. Yeah.
It
was like some sort of a CIA, FBI type special force.
Yeah. I remember seeing ads for it. I don't know that I ever watched an episode.
Well, there are like clips on there, and I'm like, this looks kind of cool. And it's streaming on like Paramount. But I wonder, it's like, you know, they show the cool clips, and I'm wondering, is a whole show going to be cool?
Here's 2 minutes of something really cool out of a 42-minute show.
Yeah, like, it's
how,
like...
How much sucked in order to get to this?
That's what I'm thinking. It's like, okay, this is 2 minutes of cool, now how's the other 40 minutes, you know,
so kind of thing. You ever see where they, like, take a clip from a movie, and it's always, like, sped up?
Yeah.
And you're just like...
Yeah.
Do they do that for like
they licensing? Do that so that the movie company doesn't, cuz they got movie companies like go through and try to find, you know, try to find clips to take them down, so they speed them up a little bit, so it makes it harder for the algorithm to find them. And then the other thing that I'm getting now, I don't know why, but I'm getting a lot of property listings.
Really?
Yeah. And they're incredible. Like, I got one the other day. It was for somewhere in Pennsylvania, like rural Pennsylvania. $150,000 for a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom cabin. On 317 acres.
Wow.
For $150,000.
There's got to be something wrong with it.
I'm like, come on. Come on, $150,000.
It probably has, like, no access, so...
The pictures, I mean, the interior, I'm like, holy crap. You know, it's got 2 bedrooms and a loft. It's got a bathroom. I mean, obviously, it's hooked up to utilities. You know?
Yeah.
Like... For 150 grand, but then I'm thinking, well, if it's out in the middle of nowhere, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know?
2 hours to get to the near store.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, I'm not a homesteader. I mean,
right.
You know,
it's not like, you know, you can not go anywhere, but you want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? So we've talked about this in the past. When you go to the store, you go to Meijer, Target, Walmart, wherever you shop, do you use the self-checkout, or do you prefer having, like, if you're buying a basket of groceries?
I prefer to have a human do it. That's what I prefer.
If you've got 20 items, person or self-checkout?
If I've got 20 items, I prefer a person. If I've got, like, 5, I'll do self-checkout.
Okay.
If I've got 15 or less,
depending on what they are.
Yeah, and depending on what they are.
You know, I figure, especially like if I'm going to buy like a 6-pack of beer or something, I just assume go through with a person because
they're going to check ID anyway.
So Amazon had their grocery store thing experiment. And that is closing or has closed because they were losing so much money. People, like, not ringing accurately.
Okay.
And then they didn't have cashiers. Like, this was all self-checkout.
Okay.
Well, come to find out, they did have cashiers. They just were, like, in India watching the video.
All right.
And so they're paying them like 31 cents an hour as opposed to paying, you know, minimum wage here. So that was a failed experiment. So now Walmart is talking about removing self-checkout entirely. They've done it at some stores, like in New Mexico and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading some articles and stuff on it, and they're like, oh, no, we're not going to remove them from all the stores. Except. The main reason is incorrect pricing, because people are taking, like, barcodes and stuff and switching out packages. So they purposely are charging themselves less.
Yeah.
The good old forgot to scan. Oops. You know, I didn't scan the thing at the bottom of my cart. Oopsie. By doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
So their loss rate is like 4%, which doesn't sound like a lot, except if you're doing $1 billion in sales, 4% is $40 million.
$40 million, yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
So now they're doing, this isn't at every store yet, but a lot of stores, they're putting up the sign that says self-checkout is closed except to Sparks, which is their version of Shipt.
Okay.
And Walmart Plus customers.
Okay.
So to be a Walmart Plus, you pay a $98 a year membership.
Okay.
So you are now paying Walmart to be able to have the ability to do self-checkout.
Wow.
So not only are you not getting paid to do a cashier's job, you're paying to be able to do a cashier's job. Didn't we call this a long time ago?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't shop at Walmart. It's a personal reason.
Yeah.
I didn't like the idea of Walmart when they came to Michigan and they were like, oh, no. We're not trying to encroach on Meijer and the other places, but where do they always put Walmarts? By a Meijer. Because Meijer's already done all the research to where the best location is. Walmart steps in and puts a... In Kalamazoo, dude, every Walmart is by a Meijer.
Yeah.
Within half a mile.
Yep.
Or a mile at most. Every one of them.
I saw this comment on Holland is So Ghetto. Somebody had said... you know, since we have a Meijer's on the north side and a Meijer's on the south side, maybe we should get a Walmart on the south side. It's like, I don't think Holland could support a second Walmart.
And where that one is on the north side is basically in the middle of town anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason you don't have a middle of town is because of the river.
Yeah.
But, you know, this troubles me that you got a place like, and it's all of these places, Walmart, Target, Meijer, all of them. They all spent all this money to save money, but they're losing money because they couldn't see what was obvious to see. They couldn't see that people were going to steal. And even if 95% of the people never steal, you couldn't see that 5% were going to?
Yeah.
And there are some areas, and it's not even a black, Hispanic, white, whatever. It's all. There are places where people are more apt to steal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it that the whole point of being in business is to make as much money, is to make money. But does it always have to be to make the most money? Walmart was doing just fine before self-checkout. Paying their employees, paying to have cashiers. Maybe if you want people to work at your places, maybe you should pay them. I'm not saying an outlandish fee. I'm not saying, you know, pay cashiers $30 an hour or anything like that. But if minimum wage is, I don't even know what minimum wage is in Michigan, 9-something still.
Something like that.
And, you know, to get into McDonald's or whatever, you got to pay people $15-ish dollars. Then maybe pay cashiers that.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't need fucking people with PhDs and college degrees to run a cash register. But I can go to Blaine's. You ever go to Blaine's Farm and Fleet?
Yep.
They've always got one or three cash registers open. Always.
Yep.
And usually they have the service desk, and somebody's taking people through that too. So not even a holiday, I've been there, and they've got three registers and the service desk open. They've got 16 customers in the whole goddamn store. Right?
Yep.
Why can't Walmart have four cash registers open and there's 500 people in the store? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
You're not paying enough money if you can't get people to be cashiers. Yep. You need to suck it up. Tighten your belt a little bit and pay that little extra money.
That's right.
Oh, no, we can't hire people at $14 an hour. Nobody will do it. So maybe we should increase it to $16.
Yep.
Like,
just doesn't make sense.
There are so many places out there that they're like, I understand sometimes it's the chicken and the egg. You look at Burger King. Like, I'm surprised Burger Kings are even open anymore, right? Because anytime you go by a Burger King, unless it's lunchtime, there's nobody there.
Yep.
Right? McDonald's, doesn't matter what time of day. I can go to McDonald's at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Doesn't matter. There's always fucking cars in line. Always.
Yep.
What's the difference between McDonald's and Burger King? McDonald's actually gets your food out to you within a reasonable amount of time.
Yep.
McDonald's all have a full staff all the time. You go into any Burger King, it's what? Three, maybe four employees?
If that.
It's usually the manager and the drive-thru person.
Yep. And then you got a cook.
Maybe.
So three, maybe.
What I mean. You got like three people.
Three people, yeah.
And how many times have you been to a Burger King and like all three people are wearing manager shirts?
Yeah.
So you manage him and you manage her. Like, fucking seriously?
Yeah.
Burger King charges you an arm and a leg. It takes forever to get your food. I'm not saying the food's not good.
Yeah.
But if you do get it fast, it means it's been sitting there.
Yep.
And if
sandwiches are just a little bit rubbery.
If there's a car in front of you, fuck, you might as well just, like,
yep,
pull out a book and start reading, because you're going to be there in a minute. It kills me.
Yeah. And it sucks because every once in a while I want a grilled burger.
Yeah.
You know, you just...
Or I want the original chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Because I don't care that it looks like plywood. I still like it.
Yeah. I wish they'd bring back the burger bundles. You remember those?
Was that just like a value?
The little mini hamburgers and cheeseburgers.
Like the came pre-sliders?
Yeah, it came in three packs, burger bundles. Then I think later they were called the Burger Buddies.
Maybe.
It came in like a 3-pack and a 5-pack.
No.
It was little mini sliders.
Were they like the equivalent to a White Castle?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. Came out in the early 90s.
Okay.
I miss those.
I remember.
I'm sorry. Just
no, it's fine. I remember I went to visit Ian out in Washington after graduation. Right, so this is summer of 1991.
Okay.
The Italian chicken sandwich. They had the international chickens back then. You know, they had the Americana and the Italian, and I think they had like a French one, like the cordon bleu type.
Yeah, with the ham and the Okay, yeah.
So. They had been out a couple of years at that point. So when I was there, it was like that week or that month or whatever. And so Ian and I went to Burger King with like two of the kids that he knew from there. And so the four of us ate like 20 Italian chicken sandwiches between us. Because they were good. And, you know, we were all graduated from high school. We were on our way to adulthood. We could eat whatever we wanted, right?
Sure. Metabolism be damned.
Yeah. And I remember because like the last sandwich each of us ate was just like because everybody had dared you to eat one more, you know?
Sure.
And you're just like, and the fucking workers are like, I swear to God, if you guys puke, we're going to kill all of you.
It's like the dude in Meaning of Life. It's like, yeah. You have that one like wafer. It's just like
wafer thin meat.
Yeah, right.
Kaboom. It's amazing. They blew the whole budget on the Every Sperm is Sacred scene.
Oh, dude.
But then they were still able to do the fat guy you know, getting bigger and exploding.
Yeah.
Like, where'd they find the money for that? You know?
That's awesome. Getting back to the grocery store thing, I'm going to find the article, but I saw a brief rundown on an article. In San Francisco, they're looking at passing a law that grocery stores will have to give the city 6-month notice if they're going to close and give a good reason why they're going to close.
We're not making any money.
I guess they got to give a better reason than that.
We cannot financially afford to stay open any longer. We're losing money.
I just thought that was crazy that, you know.
Well, and that's all of California, too. Like, businesses, homeowners and stuff, if you want to leave, they're like, why? They're reducing your ability to rent trucks to, like, U-Haul your shit out of the state. Like, seriously, they think that they can capture these people. And I've read and seen stuff where people are just like leaving their shit behind. They'll like sell like all of their furniture and stuff and get whatever they can out of it, put their money in a bag and just leave.
Wow.
Sell their house for whatever they can get and just move. Like you can't tell people that they can't leave the state.
Yeah. I saw LA's housing market dropped like 68%, and that was after their 4% mansion tax took effect. So they came up with a 4% tax to help combat homelessness. So if you sell your home, 4% of that sale.
So you got
to go to
6 or 7% to the realtors to begin with, and then an additional 4%.
4% would go to this fund to help combat homelessness.
So if you sell your house for $1 million,
yep, 4% of that sale,
you're out $10,000 of it.
Yep.
11%, because I think it's 7 is the standard.
Probably.
So you're out $11,000 just like that. Plus you got to pay tax.
Well, you're out $110,000 if you sell $1 million house.
Oh, yeah. Because I can't math.
Yep.
And it's fucking ridiculous, dude.
Yep. The real estate market in Santa Monica and Beverly Hills all the way around LA is going up.
So they were having the same issue in New York. They figured, you know, oh, we're having a real problem with, you know, taxes and whatever, because they have all these programs. They're just giving shit away to everybody and their brother. So they were going to clamp down on the people, you know, real estate and, you know. And so, like, people with a ton of money, Beyonce, Madonna, you know, those type of people, that had places in New York City and whatever, they fucking moved. Or they changed their primary residency to Miami or, you know, some state with no income tax or whatever. And basically went at New York. So New York was like, at first they were doing the whole, you know, twirl of their mustache. We figured out how to save our budget. And then the people that they had just been taxing and, you know, they had already been taxing high anyway. The people they were planning on hitting for another 2%, 5%, 10%, whatever it was going to be, left. Like they, so now they don't have any of that money. So let's say, again, I don't know numbers. We throw out magical numbers. They're expecting to get, you know, $30 million off of all of these people. Those people left, and now they're getting, not all of them, a good percentage of them left. And so instead of getting $30 million in tax revenue from these people,
they're only getting like five.
They're getting like five or $10 million. So now they have an even bigger deficit, and they're like, And even the mayor of New York City, and this was five-ish years ago, he was like, yeah, we really screwed the pooch here.
Yep.
Like, we did not think that went out very well at all. Yep. And that's the argument that people on the right try to have with people on the left is, if you just go after the people that have a ton of money, whether those people are on the left or the right politically, these are people with money. They have people that they can talk to. They will find ways to not pay those taxes.
Yep.
Or to reduce their tax burden.
Yep.
Why do you think a lot of these people have their primary residencies in states like Texas and Florida, where there's no income tax?
Yep.
Why do you... And now Canada's really fucking the pooch here. So Canada used to do with professional sports players, they gave them, there was like a limit to what they made and what they'd be taxed at.
Okay.
To give them a reason to play in Canada.
Okay.
Because typically the tax rates are higher for equal professions. So like if you make $50,000 a year in the US and you make the equivalent in Canada, you get taxed higher in Canada.
Okay.
If you make $100,000 here, make the equivalent there, you get taxed higher there. Just the way it works. So if you make $10 million a year as a hockey player, playing for one of the eight Canadian teams, six, whatever they have now. They were trying to do it in such a way that you wouldn't be overly burdened compared to if you were playing in the U.S. because they wanted players to want to play in Canada still.
Sure.
So if you make $10 million and you got to pay $1 million of it in taxes in the U.S., again, I don't know numbers, percentages. I'm just throwing a random number. They didn't want to charge you $2 million in taxes up there.
Okay.
Because people would be like, well, I'm not playing for $10 million. I'm playing for $8
million.
They got rid of that.
Okay.
So now, all these stars in Canada, I mean, this is across the board. They're like, as soon as free agency comes for them, they're heading south. You know, this is CFL. This is the Toronto Raptors, the NBA basketball team. These are all, they're like, why the fuck would I go to Canada and pay that much higher? So take championships, whatever, out of the equation, right?
Sure.
If you were an athlete and you could play in Florida, California, or Winnipeg, and you're going to get $10 million, and you stay in Canada, you go to Canada, after taxes and shit, you're only going to get $8 million.
Okay.
If you go to California, after taxes, you're going to get $9 million. And you go to Florida, you're after everything, you're going to get $9.5 million. And you got a four-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, multiply all the $32 million, $36 million, $38 million. Where are you going to play? You take your chance of winning a championship out of the equation. You're just looking at the bottom line, how much money you're going to have. Why wouldn't you play in fucking Florida?
Yeah.
Now, you know, people be like, well, you know, $36 million in California, you're going to have, you know, the California lifestyle. You're going to see all those Hollywood chicks and stuff. You know, what's really the difference between $2 million, right? Over 4 years. And I get that. I could see that.
Sure.
But what if you're one of those guys who's only making $1 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
$800,000, $900,000, $950,000 over 4 years.
Yep.
You know, that's where it all starts. And people don't get that. And they honestly think that you can just tax the rich, tax the rich, tax. The rich already pay their taxes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they necessarily pay what they should, but they still pay quite a bit in taxes. They have property taxes. They have sales taxes. They have all those other taxes. Maybe we should be a little more responsible with the programs that we're putting out there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we shouldn't just be giving everybody whatever they want whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have to be the one. And I know this is it's the whole not in my backyard.
Yeah.
You know, NIMBY mentality. But I don't want to be the guy that has to pick which programs to get cut. But I would be okay with being on a committee or something to help come up with some of these, you know, cuts and
solutions,
because you can't just give everybody everything.
Yeah,
you can't. How many times do you hear about these people that, you know, go off the deep end or, you know, whatever, because their parents just gave them everything?
Yeah,
life's always just giving them whatever they want. Do they always turn out to be good? No. So maybe we should make some people work for some of what they want.
Crazy idea. I know.
Yeah.
So, well, if you go to junkiosity.com, facebook.com/junkiosity, at junkiosity on Twitter, I'll look up some of those articles and some of those videos for you to check out. It's crazy, crazy stuff. Check us out again at junkiosity on Twitter. Facebook.com/junkiosity, junkiosity.com. Until next time, I'm Maddie B.
I am Dan the Man.
Have a good week.
Deuces.